You're listening to SBS News. An epidemiologist who's conducted his own review of Australia's hotel quarantine system says there's a strong case for Australia to build quarantine facilities outside the major cities that are modelled on the Howard Springs Centre in the Northern Territory. Howard Springs has single-storey cabins with outdoor verandas and separate air conditioning systems. Professor Michael Toole from the Burnet Institute says there have been 16 separate leaks from quarantine hotels in five cities over the past 6 months.
These hotels are not fit for the purpose of quarantine. The Howard Springs facility has demonstrated that they can house people there safely, and there have been no leaks from Howard Springs, even though they've housed a lot of COVID-positive patients. You know, the federal government needs to bite the bullet and consider the building of fit-for-purpose facilities in every state and territory as an investment against the kind of disruptions that we've seen that result from leaks in quarantine hotels.
The Victorian government has proposed a Howard Springs-like facility be constructed about 30 kilometres north of Melbourne's Central Business District, next to an existing pet quarantine site run by the Commonwealth. But the proposal does not involve any construction taking place until at least September and is dependent on the federal government agreeing to fund it. Victoria's acting premier is James Molino.
The request to the Commonwealth is that they pay for the construction of this facility and ultimately take ownership of this facility. As I've said, this is a Commonwealth responsibility, and just like Howard Springs, it should be owned by the Commonwealth.
Victoria estimates it would cost as much as $700 million if the site was built to house 3,000 beds. Victoria's Avalon Airport, which is currently leased by the Linfox Group, is the state government's second preference. Opposition leader Michael O'Brien says the proposal is a hoax.
This government just keeps kicking the can down the road when it comes to how we're going to get more people safely back into Victoria. And today's another classic example. The government pretended to make an announcement, pretended to make a decision. They haven't made a decision at all. The only decision is to ask Canberra to do all the heavy lifting. Well, that's not responsibility. That's just asking someone else to do your own job.
The Queensland government also wants a dedicated facility and supports a proposal to build one on a privately held airport near Toowoomba, about 130 kilometres from Brisbane. Western Australia's Premier Mark McGowan has all but ruled out his state building its own quarantine centre and continues to call for the federal government to allow the state to use military bases, former immigration detention centres and Christmas Island. But the Defence Minister Peter Dutton says the centres are not fit for quarantine purposes. Professor Michael Toole says unless there are improvements, there'll be more leaks, with airborne transmission now responsible for the majority of the infections in the quarantine hotels. He says there are big gaps in the way some of the states are addressing the issue, although South Australia and Victoria have conducted ventilation audits.
In Victoria, in every single hotel room, and they've made modifications to rooms to ensure that there is what we call negative pressure, so that when the guest opens the door to the corridor, air goes into the room rather than out of the room. And the latter we call positive pressure. That was found to be the case when in West Australia they looked at their hotels, and in the Mercure Hotel, where this transmission event occurred, it was deemed very high risk because of the positive pressure in the hotel rooms, and it will be no longer be used for quarantine purposes.
Australia's medical regulator says there's no likely connection between the deaths of two men in New South Wales and their COVID-19 vaccinations, based on the current evidence. Health authorities are investigating the deaths of a 55-year-old man who died in a Tamworth hospital last week and a 71-year-old man in Sydney who had existing medical conditions. Professor John Skerritt from the Therapeutic Goods Administration says health officials have a duty to be transparent about the risks, but it's important to keep things in perspective.
50 Australians a day report to hospitals or their doctors with serious blood clots from a range of activities or coming for no reason at all. And almost all of them have no relationship to vaccination. So knowing that there's a small background risk of rare blood clots is something to not hide, but all medicines, all treatments, all medical procedures, all activities of daily living, driving a car, flying in an aeroplane, have some risk. And in the case of these vaccines, the benefits exceed the risk.
For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Greg Diet, SBS News.